From the Cumberland Gap to the Atlantic Ocean, this is Virginia Water Radio for the week of February 13, 2012. This week, we conclude our series on some of the connections between water quality and coal mining in southwestern Virginia and in Appalachia generally. This week's installment gives the perspective of a representative of a major coal mining company. The speaker is John Paul Jones, Director of Environmental Regulatory and External Affairs for Alpha Natural Resources, headquartered in Bristol, Virginia. This five-minute excerpt is from Mr. Jones' presentation at the symposium Coal and Water in Appalachia, The Challenge to Balance, held November 15, 2011 in Blacksburg. Two technical notes. In the excerpt, you'll hear the abbreviations MIRA and NMA. MIRA stands for the U.S. EPA's Multi-Criteria Integrated Resource Assessment Tool for assessing coal mining permit applications. NMA stands for the National Mining Association.
I do want to give you sort of a industry perspective. First of all, I'll give you just a little bit of background on Alpha Natural Resources. Alpha's only 9 years old, will be 9 years old in about a month. We've had two transformational acquisitions in the last 2 years. We acquired Foundation Coal in 2009, and then just recently completed an acquisition of Massey Energy. The Massey Energy doubled our size. Now we're the largest producer in Virginia and West Virginia. We're the second largest producer in Kentucky and in Pennsylvania. We have a commitment at Alpha to environmental excellence. We try our best to comply, get tougher and tougher and tougher. This was a permit from roughly 1983. This one is a deep mine permit application. Once you submitted that thing, you could expect it to take maybe 6 months to get approved, and you could go about mining. Middle picture is a permit for one of our mountaintop removal mines in West Virginia. Thing took 3.5 years to get approved after submittal. Final price, best we could tell, was around $750,000. Now, you prepare a permit, you don't know if you're how much it's going to cost, how long it's going to take to get it approved, or if you ever will obtain approval of that permit. Why is there such a permitting quagmire? In June of 2009, a multi-agency memorandum of understanding was released, and it introduced a new process called the Enhanced Coordinated Process, and they used a tool there called MIRA. With metrics we'd never seen before in the industry, things that we'd never had to comply with. 79 permits were placed in this final ECP process. And how they got there was being subjected to the MIRA. Might note that all permits failed. Nobody passed MIRA. This is the status of MIRA of the ECP as of about a week ago, maybe 2 weeks ago. 49 of them were totally withdrawn. People just couldn't pass the test, so they pulled back. Some of them have since been resubmitted. We have one of them that has been resubmitted. What people don't really understand, ECP process didn't just stall the review of these 79 permits. It stopped more than 230 permits that were in the process at the time. In July 2010, NMA in Kentucky, West Virginia, a couple of private folks, City of Pikeville, filed a lawsuit stating that the ECP and the MIRA were illegal rulemaking, hadn't gone through the Administrative Procedure Act. Last month, half of that case was ruled favorably for the industry, and the ECP and the MIRA were determined to be illegal rulemaking. To make matters worse, the Corps of Engineers has taken the nationwide permit away from us, or at least if they do reauthorize it, it's going to be almost useless to us. The thresholds are going to be so small that we just can't abide by it. Now we're dealing with things we just haven't dealt with before, and almost instantaneously dropped on us the TDS conductivity, selenium, narrative water quality standards. You know, we always dealt with technology-based standards, and now we're dealing with water quality standards. It makes for a whole lot more parameters that we got to look at. Virginia right now, in almost across the board, they'll ask you to screen for 40 parameters. You know, TDS conductivity, we keep hearing that they're using the best available science. What we're actually seeing is they're only using peer-reviewed literature. In the mining industry, we've done a lot of research. We've done a lot of studies in TDS conductivity, selenium. but we do it for permitting reasons or for internal studies, and we haven't really put our efforts together and tried to balance the science. Selenium's something that's, for years and years, we didn't have it in Virginia. And it's very, very hard to deal with. I mean, we're talking water quality standards, 5 parts per billion. You can drink 50 parts per billion, but we can only discharge 5 parts per billion. We wonder why air conductivity is the only bad conductivity. This study was done for us along Interstate 68, went across the valley fields, same fields that you have to use to build a Walmart in our country. If it's not flat, you got to make it flat. You got to either cut, or you got cut and fill, usually. These are some of the conductivities that are way, way outside the range, and you don't see anybody out there trying to stop the road building. We're here today to talk about water, so I won't even get to the last one there, which is called EPA's train wreck. Tens of air quality initiatives coming at us, too. It's all aimed at seriously taking coal out of the energy mix in America.
Water resources are affected in significant ways by the mining and use of coal. From the impacts of mountaintop mining on coal field streams, to acidic drainage from abandoned mine lands, to the water supplies needed for generating electricity from burning coal, to coal combustion air emissions that can eventually reach water bodies. Our brief series of 3 episodes only begins to describe these connections and the challenges they present to the coal industry, environmental regulators, and the electricity-demanding public. Complexity and controversy will no doubt continue to link Virginia's coal and water resources. For other water sounds and music, and for more Virginia Water information, visit our website at virginiawaterradio.org or call us at 540-231-5463. From the Virginia Water Resources Research Center in Blacksburg, I'm Alan Raflow, thanking you for listening and wishing you health, wisdom, and good water.